Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Hi, peoples, it's Chunks and I'm here with the Chunks Show. Now, you guys are probably thinking, why are you starting the Chunks Show? Now, this is something I really did enjoy doing, which was just talking to the internet. You guys did give us a lot of support, so I do want to say thank you very much for that. And I just decided to, you know what, start my own podcast. Of course, there is an ongoing situation that's happening right now, which I won't comment on. I can't comment on. Because of the fact it is ongoing. So I hope you guys understand that and are here to support the show, the Chunk Show, because that's what it's about. I'm trying to elevate this. It's a passion project for me. It's something I really enjoy doing. So I'm here to give this a shot and give it a try. And hopefully you guys can support the Chunks Show. But without further ado, the Chunks Show, let's get into this. Now, of course, I do have Lawrence behind the camera. Lawrence, say what's up?
What's up?
I thought you can add more there.
I'm sorry. I didn't expect you to ask me to say a phrase that isn't
your,
good for me.
My bad. Sorry. Yeah. What do you usually say, Lawrence?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, there we go. I do like that, Lawrence. But of course, Lawrence is here with me behind the scenes. But
I enjoy working with you.
I do enjoy working with you, brother. Yeah. You know what? I hope one day that you actually sit beside me.
But that'd be nice.
It all depends on these people that are watching this video right now. If they can support. And maybe further down the line, we'll see, Lawrence.
Imagine they just don't support because of that. That would be great.
That would be very unfortunate, wouldn't it?
I don't even need to really produce this because we got, I mean, literally probably one of the best YouTube people in the UK to send through his ideas as to what he would talk about. Who's on that show? Nico.
Oh, Nicholas Omelana.
Nicholas Omelana.
That is my brother.
To give him his full legal name.
Yes. Yeah. Nicholas Omelana. Well, Nicholas, he gave me his full name. I forgot. It is a Daniel in there. It's his middle name.
Well, you call him Omelanana.
Yes, we will talk about that because I do have some exciting guests that are coming up soon. I think I'll just say it. Beta Squad is going to be in the next episode, the full Beta Squad.
Have you guys ever sat down and, I mean, I know you've done...
You do mukbangs,
but that's not a podcast.
Not really a podcast, yeah. So the Beta Squad are going to be on the second episode and we're going to just talk about the start and how we got to this place now, which we call the present, and how we are doing as a group because... Of course, the channel is back up and running. We are uploading weekly, but we have something called seasons. Now, a lot of people are kind of confused as to what the seasons are for Beta Squad, but we are uploading, I think, maybe 10, 12 episodes, and then we go on like a six-week break, but it's not necessarily a break because in that break, quote unquote, we are filming videos still.
Right.
And I think the reason as to why we've done this is because we can produce much higher quality videos, better videos, and it doesn't have that filler feel to it. Because I feel like what ended up happening when we were uploading consistently was we'd get maybe one 10 out of 10 video out, which was like a great video, then maybe a 7 out of 10, a 6 out of 10, a 9 out of 10, which we didn't like. I think we want to be more consistent in terms of how good quality the videos are.
You want to go for like Netflix kind of.
That's the aim. And I feel like with these breaks in the seasons, quote unquote, we have, we can produce better quality videos. So for example, season one, which we have uploaded, I feel like I performed very well in those episodes.
What was the best episode? Not all of it's been seen yet, right?
Not all of it has been seen, no.
Have you got a personal favorite?
Either the solitary confinement video where I got to the final. Sorry for the spoiler. If you haven't watched it, it came out like 4 weeks ago.
You were pretty good in that though.
I was pretty good in that.
I feel like you'd be good in solitary.
I was in a solitary confinement for 24 hours and I kept having to hear Nico say, by the way, the edit didn't show, but he was doing it for about an hour. I actually had a headache from that.
Yeah.
So I was in there for 24 hours and I came second because ultimately, and I know you guys remember that bit where, can we show cuts? And because I think I want to start adding this to this show.
Sure.
So let me show you this clip right now I'm talking about. So as you can see, obviously, didn't think I touched that button in time. So when I've dropped, I fell on the floor. I stayed on that floor for about 15 minutes. No one knows, of course, because it's not shown in the edit. But I thought I didn't touch the button in time. So you know when you accept your fate, when you think you're going to leave somewhere and you're like, upset in the first 2 or 3 minutes, but then you actually accept that, oh my God, I've been in there for 23 hours. I can't wait to go outside and see what's happening outside. So I'm waiting. Again, you guys wouldn't have seen, but I've shouted to the mic, am I out? And then AJ then says on the speaker, no, you're still in. So wow. I said, oh my God, amazing. You know what I mean? So then I stayed in, but then I didn't want to stay in anymore because I was like, I accepted being out.
You accepted where you are.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then, and also because I didn't know that Kenny was still in, I didn't know Nico was still in. In my head, I'm thinking, how long are we going to do this for? So then I just kind of went to sleep thinking, surely he won't play another siren so quick. And then he did. And then I ended up being woken up by AJ and that random doctor being told that I'm out the process. But again, that was my favorite video I've filmed. But another one hasn't come out yet, which I don't even know if I can say, but I'm going to say because this is a chunk show, baby. It's a road trip that we take from Chicago to Miami. We drive.
Wow.
And it's like a 50-hour drive.
That's a great drive.
Yeah, it's mental. And it's like an RV road trip, two teams. Chicago, what's fake crazy is we started up fully clothed because it was so cold, like covered up. Like I think it was like minus 15 degrees Celsius. It was so cold in Chicago. And then ending up in Miami, which was about 20 degrees Celsius. So through that video, you just see us changing and
slowly,
just slowly taking off the layers. It's an incredible video and probably one of my favorite videos ever filmed.
You drove through every state between Chicago and Miami.
Yeah, we gate crashed a graduation, a uni graduation. You see some crazy stuff happening there.
What do you think of America when you're driving through it? Like, are you?
I really like America. I'll be honest. I like to visit America. It's a great place to visit, but I feel like living there is when I'm not really interested.
I get that.
You know what I mean? It's like some people just love it, some people don't. You know what I mean? A lot of friends I have that go randomly to LA and just live there. I just can't do that personally.
Why? LA is quite like restful, isn't it? As long as you hang out with the
people.
It's
very fake. It's very number related. It's very clouty. Like, it's like, I remember.
Which of those do you not excel in? Which of those is bad for you?
No, but it just doesn't feel natural. I remember going to a David Dobrik party one time, and David Dobrik was just like introducing me to everybody, and everybody was like, wasn't really interested in talking to me, which is fine. I don't care. I had my friends there. But then I think it was one girl was like, oh my God, so what do you do? And I was like, YouTube and stuff. She goes, oh, that's so cool. Left me alone, no problem, cool. She came back to me because she saw someone I took a picture with somebody. And she goes, what's your name? And I was like, Chunks. And she checked my Instagram and she saw like a verified tick with 2-3 million followers on Instagram. Oh my, that's so cool. We should totally hang because I've got followers. It's like, it just didn't feel nice, you know what I mean? And then she's introducing me to her friend saying, oh, this guy is like, he's popping in the UK.
Big deal.
So it's like, that just didn't feel authentic to me. Like, sure. I want to speak to somebody because they're a cool person, not because they have a verified tick. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It just felt very superficial, very weird, very fake. And for that reason, LA for me has never been a place where I feel like I can stay.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Whereas New York's got that more raw element to it, which is very similar to London, which is just kind of like, yo, if you're a cool person, you're a cool person. Again, no shade to LA, but I just feel like that's the vibe I got from it. Maybe I'm wrong.
You're very London though, aren't you?
Very London. I'm so UK. Like, I can't see myself moving out of here.
As a percentage, how London would you say you are?
94.7%.
And how much space does that leave for like the kind of Somali part of you?
5.3. No, I'm joking. I'm very Somali. Obviously, I might not speak it very fluently, but I'm not a hoi matala for people that are thinking, what the hell is that? It's like a phrase we say. That basically mean that you can't speak your language.
But you still masquerade and use the benefits of being.
Yeah, but I do. Again, this is what a lot of people say. Me being Somali, a lot of people that are Somali will say, I understand it fluently, but I don't speak it fluently. But that's actually a real thing. I'm sure people from other nationalities and backgrounds can understand what I mean when I say that. If you're speaking to your parents or your uncles and grandma or something, you can understand what they're saying, but sometimes replying is like, ooh, let me add a little bit of English in there because I don't know the word for that off the top of my head. But if I sit back, I'll be able to, you know what I mean? Just because you may be a bit nervous, especially talking to grandparents and uncles back home. You're like, goodness me. They had this old twang and you're like, oh, I don't know what you're saying, mate. And
how different does it sound when you go there? Is there an English Somali, if that makes sense? And then there's like a Somali.
Yeah, like, you know, in London, for example, all the friends I have that don't speak fluent Somali, like, we kind of understand each other because we go at the right pace for each other compared to going back home where you just speak very fast. And I'm like, what did he just say? You know what I mean? So I think that's the clear difference with being back home. But I do like it. I've been back home maybe twice or three times now.
What's the vibe?
Third worldish, trying to progress in this life. Somaliland, where I'm from. Obviously, we just had our Independence Day. Yeah, I do really enjoy it. And I feel like we are trying to flourish. You know what I mean? We are trying to get better as a nation. But I do like what's happening there, man. I do like what's happening. We had a new...
Big city there?
Hargeisa, yeah. Very big city, yeah.
And are you more of like a countryside person from there? Or are you more of a city guy?
My family are countryish.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so what would you have been doing? Say you've grown up there.
Yeah.
What would you, you know, say Nigel Farage got his way.
Yeah.
What would you be doing there?
If I got moved there now?
If you someone said to you, sorry, your London passport's gone.
I'll just open up businesses. Because yeah. I think, like I said, it's flourishing right now. So there's a lot of things that you can do that they don't have there. For example, franchising fast food restaurants. They don't have that down there.
You'd have Chunks Burger.
There you go. Or even just big ones. Obviously, I don't know what's on the boycott list anymore because everyone is.
Well, not Chunks Burger.
Subway, potentially.
Sure.
A Subway.
I think any of those guys are probably...
All these bastards, man. But
you're boycotting for the right reason, though. So
of course, yeah. But I'm saying, as in, I'd probably just open one that's not a boycott,
right? Chunks Burger,
and then just flourish off of that. I think again, Somaliland may be like 20 years behind in terms of like everything. So it's like just create the ideas that they've got here, just bring over there, and you're flourishing.
Are you the kind of guy to get your hands dirty? Like, would you, you know, if someone said to you, "There's a farm out here in the countryside," no, you milking a cow?
Never.
You killing a chicken?
Nope. I'm gonna work. Smart, not hard.
So my wife's Muslim. During I think it's either Eid or Ramadan, they sometimes they'll sacrifice an animal.
Yes, yes.
Have you ever? Would you? If someone said to you, "Hey, do you want to?"
I can't even watch it.
Really?
Yeah, it was back home in Somaliland. I remember they were cutting a goat by the neck and that. Just can't watch that, to be honest.
You take part in the prayer, but you wouldn't do the knife.
I'm not involved in anything.
Wow.
I don't want to see that. I feel like, you know, if I really deeped it and maybe lived on farms and saw everything, I think I'd just turn vegan, which is why I'm trying to refrain from going farms.
Do you not think if you went to a farm, you'd actually feel the opposite? Because you'd feel more responsible for...
No, because I don't know, they're living animals, isn't it? Like, and obviously for me, with animals, even if I'm driving and I see a deer or a cat, I'll go to a halt. I don't care how dangerous it is, just because I don't want... I remember I was in an Uber once and the Uber ran over a deer or a fox or something.
Sorry, what?
Genuinely, I was in an Uber because I used to live in the sticks, innit? So yeah. I remember they'd give you signs to like watch out for deer, and you'll see a deer kind of just jumping, like, you know, be careful, right? There was one time it was like 11 p.m. going back home. I lived in the sticks these times with the boys, and then the guy ran over a deer, and you know when you could just hear the legs getting trampled over, my soul crushed. And I remember turning back thinking, and I seen this deer on the floor, and that killed me.
And you never ate deer again.
I used to love venison.
Yeah,
you know what
obviously,
I mean?
Yeah.
I'm joking. That's a joke, by the way. Yeah. I never ate deer. But in general, just I feel like maybe seeing this living animal just running around and then all of a sudden he's on your plate with peritema sauce.
Yeah.
It just kind of hurts a bit. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I haven't seen that.
But what about with that, like the spiced honey that they do now? That's quite nice.
Peri honey?
Yeah.
Put down a butterfly brush, I'm there.
But you take a lot of people to Nando's.
I do love
you
Nando's.
You were a big lover of
Love a Nandizzy.
Yeah.
They've got a new menu as well. You know what? They're not even paying me for this, but I love you guys so much that they do have a new menu and I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
I delved into it. Tropical Quencha.
That is good. It looks amazing as well. Yeah.
Peri honey.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. But honestly, back to Bait Squad.
What were you happy? Are you happy with the video concepts for season one? That's one thing that NO said. He said, are you happy with the video concepts?
I really am. Obviously, one thing again, back in the days when we were filming Beta, it was a bit too much. We literally call it Hell Week, where you film 7 days back to back. And I know people at home are thinking, oh, what's that? It's not nothing that crazy. But like, I feel like it's some situations where you can't really speak on unless you've been in it.
Sure.
So filming maybe 14 to 20 hours a day, having like 3-4 hours sleep, especially if we're flying out, like it's a bit much, you know what I mean? And then obviously, because you have to be a character, quote unquote, and that was kind of soul-sucking almost. That's probably not even a phrase, but I just want to say
that. No, it is.
Yeah, and so then it got to a point where I'd watch back videos and even see that wasn't really interested in the video. Whereas now, because we had this time off where we can just focus on ideation of ideas and stuff and edits and stuff like that, so you have more time to breathe. That's why I enjoy it much more now, where it's kind of structured like this.
What do you do in your normal days when there's no videos on? Is there ever a day where you just don't?
Yeah. Well, it hasn't been like that for 2 weeks now because I'm back on the pod as well now. But I haven't had a day off for 2 weeks, but that's fine.
You'll work out? I saw you the other day. You said you go for a walk.
Yes. Oh, yes. We've been using this app called Step Up.
Yeah.
Shout out to the app again, not paying me, but I'm just putting it out there. I do like you guys. We have a group called the Nando's Group Chat, genuinely, right. Yeah? And there's about 20 guys in there, and we all have to try and beat each other at who gets the most steps in a week or a month.
Who's the best overall?
So there's a guy in there called Paul Sweet Science, which is like a boxing coach.
Right.
Right? He is sick in the head. His average in a month is about 40,000 steps a day.
40,000
steps a day, yeah. Then you've got second place, which is Luciano. Sour Maths, I think his name is. I don't know if you get that, because basically Paul's Sweet Science.
Right, good.
Luciano's.
What's your name in there?
My name is a mean, salty English, I think.
Right, okay. So you're all different flavors.
No, yeah, we just play about, you know what right. I mean? And then I've Dark has got a funny one as well. Actually, let me actually look at it. But anyway, the concept of this is that we all verse each other when it comes to walking. Darkest is Darkest Spicy Geography. You know what I mean? Right. It's the thing we have.
Spicy Geography.
Yeah.
Right.
So like right now, if I look at my month, Paul is in first place with 37,000 steps of the month per day. Luciano is in second with 29,000 steps per day. Third is May, which works for Nico. His name is May Minty Music. Good. Get it? With 15,000 steps a day. Fourth is my cousin Star Player with 14,000 steps a day. And then me in fifth with 13.7,000 steps a day on average.
So it's quite a big drop though between 37,000 or whatever that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, and then 14. Yeah, yeah, because those two are sickos. But I have really been interested and love a good walk nowadays. I put my headphones on, podcast, and I'm just enjoying myself. What are you doing right now?
How far is 37,000 steps? I'm just trying to find out.
Far.
Average of 17 or 18 miles. I mean, how's
that,
even
what's
doing
that in kilometers? 18 miles might be like 36, 34.
18 miles, I think a little bit more in km, is 28.
28 kilometers a day.
That's a lot of
steps,
K.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if you run 10K a day, you've already gotten rid of a third of those.
Still though,
you're walking around the gym.
But obviously, Paul is a boxing coach, so that's.
Do you think there's anything to do with that, where the phone is maybe a little bit tricked by the
fact potentially? That, yeah, I didn't want to say it, but there's an inflation in numbers there.
Maybe
there is, but.
So, yeah. But you, I was just imagining I'm driving down a countryside road or wherever it is that you just live in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah,
pretty much. And suddenly I see you walking on the side.
That's happened all the time. That still happened until today. Like people will be driving and then they'll stop their car in the middle of the road, come out for a picture, say, what are you doing? It's annoying when I'm trying to get a PB for like a running kilometer and then I have to stop. I remember there was once, yeah, literally just yesterday, or 3 days ago. I can literally, my hands are probably dry, but it's fine. Can you see the cuts there?
Sure.
Right? Because it's scabbed up now. But I was going on a run for a 1K run just to see my PB. I'm 0.86 kilometers with the weight in. So I'm almost done. A car is driving side by side, but I'm blaring a podcast. And I'm hearing that in the back. So I've looked to my left. I'm waving. And as I'm waving, I'm still running. There's a curb. Didn't see it.
No way.
I've dropped, rolled about three times, and they're still driving.
Imagine you are the reason Chunks like breaks a leg or rolls an ankle.
It was them. And then I pretended like I was tying my laces. Too late, they saw everything. He tried to hop out of the car saying, oh, do you want me to help you? I said, piss off.
Really?
It's your fault.
Yeah, you were annoyed.
Yeah, and then he started laughing and I started laughing. And then, annoyed. But then that 1 kilometer time ended up being 6 minutes because of I walked the last 0.16.
Yeah.
So imagine what it could have been.
Yeah. Did you cry?
Definitely not.
No,
I kind of laughed because I was like, I haven't dropped in so long.
Right.
And I was like, wow, that hurt. Didn't it used to hurt this bad when I was 13?
Falling over doesn't really seem like a thing you're meant to do at your age.
It is not meant to be.
There's a part of your life where you don't fall over and then you start to fall over again.
Yeah, it wasn't a good day.
Do you realize, so Nico says coming up to 10 years of uploading on YouTube now. You.
It has been. I started my YouTube channel 2015 in July. Oh my God. You know, I want to shout out to everybody that has been there on the journey, especially for the Chunks channel. I'm closing in on 4 million subscribers and I don't deserve it if I'm being honest. I'll be honest. I think from the grind from 0 to 1 million subscribers, I deserved every sub because I worked my ass off. But after that, I don't know, man. It wasn't necessarily that I fell out of love with YouTube. It was more so creating fresh new ideas because I feel like I kind of just done the same things over and over again. Of course, I did it because people enjoyed it and they were letting me know in the views and the comments. But then also you kind of, when I'm surrounded around people like AJ and Nico, seeing their crazy ideas and concepts, I'm kind of like, can I see myself doing that? No.
Are you a big ideator for Beta Squad? Like,
No, I'll be honest. Nico and AJ are in charge of the big ideas. I'm not going to take away Kenny and the Sharky's credit because they do come up with some concepts, but I feel like it'll be fair to say majority of the ideas are created by those two. Mm-hmm. But what ends up happening is, what I'm very good with is like when a concept is made, improving on it and how to make it even better, how to make it funnier. That's what I do. And obviously with me, with Beta Squad, it's kind of like he's using the phone book and trying to get like the crazy kind of people, like, oh my God, I got Trent. Oh my God, I got Stormzy. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. We just filmed a crazy guest the singer, which I can't say because they'll probably kill me, but it's a big artist.
Even you were taken aback when you saw.
Yeah, I'll give a clue. I think he's in the top 10. He's in the top 10 Spotify streams of the month. Like, he gets the most streams.
Consistently?
Yeah, top 10. He's in top 10. Just a little clue for the people, and it's coming out soon.
How soon?
Season two comes out. I don't know. There'll probably be like a 4 or 5 week break in between season one and two.
How sorry do you feel for the editors?
Oh.
Can you imagine editing all of that down?
No, but you know what it is? We have like a team now. We have like maybe 6 or 7 editors. Sure. So they are working hard. But we did get them a new nice office, so.
Oh yeah, right. I saw the house the other day that, is that Nico?
Nico
AJ?
And AJ's house, yeah.
They just live in that?
Yeah, them too. But then it's obviously like George lives there too. James, our main editor, lives there. Yeah.
I heard you guys all kind of throwing weights around in a room.
There is a gym there.
Yeah.
And that's where I work out sometimes.
Do you like working out with other people?
Oh, 100%. Like... I can't work out by myself.
Really?
Yeah, I can't. I can't do it. I just don't know what... For me, it's like, let's say, for example, I've got to do 4 sets of 10 reps of bench, right? Bench press. If I'm by myself, I'll cheat it. And I'll say, I'll do 8 reps.
Well, who are you cheating?
Myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying because there's no motivation for someone to hold me accountable.
Right.
Whereas when I got my PT, Kyle, KGD, and AJ and Darkest, and I'm seeing them getting bigger and stronger, I'm going to have to push myself.
Do you ever look at Darkest and think, I have those same genes, look at that chest?
Nah, I don't really compare myself to anybody because at the end of the day, I've come so far from what I used to be. You know what I mean? I used to weigh 155 kilos and I was just unfit as hell. I remember my first ever 1 kilometer run. I stopped at 0.8 and I started crying because my lower back was hurting.
Right.
You know what I mean? To then come to my PB of being 99 kilograms and I felt like the top of the world. You know what I mean? So honestly, I don't compare myself to anybody. I compare myself to myself.
Do you ever think you're a little bit lucky to be in this generation of creators? Because say you're 10 years earlier, you might end up on ITV, like sort of they would have done like a my weight loss journey type thing. And it's very different then.
Nah, to be fair with the weight loss journey, I was meant to document it and make a video out of it. But of course, I just didn't get around to doing it because I was like, meh. You know what I mean?
But like on TV back then, they were a lot ruder to guys who were a bit bigger. Like back then, they were like quite mean to big guys.
Yeah.
And now they're a bit more like, oh, it's just your journey. Whereas back then, they were like, you know, fatty Rick here,
blah, blah, blah.
For some weird reason, people weren't human back then.
Yeah, I feel like, but back in the days, people weren't as sensitive.
Right.
So you could say more stuff. Like there was more dark humor about.
Do you think they weren't as sensitive, or do you think they just you couldn't tweet anything or put anything on your page, so you would have something said that was nasty about you in the paper?
Yeah,
or
but
on
I feel
TV,
like you know when you're looking around you and that's just the norm.
Yeah,
you feel like if you were to say anything, you're kind of like being a pussy. You know what I mean? Like, why would I say anything if that's the norm compared to now, where everybody is so open about their emotions and their feelings and their mental health as they should be? That can't run anymore. You know what I mean? You can't get away with that. So it's a weird one. Because I'll be honest, there's some things I do enjoy about back in the days, but there's some things I'm like, I do prefer now for.
When you go back home, as you call it, does social media matter? Like, do people care about your socials?
I don't really care much about social media like that no more, man. Because I think with opinions, they change so much. I've had people that love the hell out of me, then I do something wrong and then they hate me. So it's kind of like,
yeah,
I don't really take it too serious. Like my most important people that I'm trying to impress are my family and friends.
And that's all.
Yeah. And mostly family, actually, not even friends, but it's like, yeah, that's all I really care about, to be honest. I'm very sure of myself now at the
ripe age
of 24 plus 5.
That's an impressive age. I'll give you that. Yeah. So on this podcast, I just kind of want to know what we're aiming for here. You know, what would you say your specialist subjects are?
Languages.
Languages. You're good at, I was told by friends, you're good at naming languages.
Yes. So shout out to Nicholas Amolano again.
Right.
On his NDL channel, we do something called Guess the Language. Now that is probably amongst my favorite content I record and I am a part of, because growing up in North West London, I saw a lot of people from different cultures, different backgrounds.
Sure.
And I embraced it because I love everybody. So I just feel like I got a very good knack of pointing out where somebody's from, maybe from aesthetics or the way phonetically it sounds.
What's your most favorite language that you've not outside of English and maybe
Portuguese?
Portuguese. Yeah. What do you like? Yeah,
fala português.
Really? Some people don't like that at all.
I love it. But then to be fair, I also love the Scouse accent. So it's kind of like a lot of people think
very similar spots in the mouth that you create the sounds.
Chicken and chips and a can of coke.
Yeah.
And fala português, me que feel.
Yeah.
And to the bang.
That's good.
And football, me que feel. You know what I mean?
You get the love from that kind
And plus, then people love me now. People from Cabo Verde. You know what that is?
Yep.
Where's that?
That's Brazil.
No, it's not. It's Cape Verde.
Oh, Cape Verde.
It's Cabo Verde.
Yep, sure.
You know what I mean? It's like
yep.
Angola.
Yeah.
You got flipping, what else speak Portuguese? Well, we're not going to talk about it because they colonized quite a bit of places.
Sure. Yeah, that's the whole point. Yeah. Great language, though. Great language.
But no, it's a great language.
Do you speak Italian at all?
No, I don't. I'm not really a big fan of.
But there was a lot of mixing of the Italians in the.
Yeah, you know, Buonasera. I've been to Italy loads. I do like it, but it's not like one that I'm thinking, oh, I love that. I would love to learn it. I'm not really stressed. Okay. Spanish, of course, classic. Great language.
Great people.
There's a South American Spanish, and then there's the Spanish from Spain.
A lot of pork, though.
Too much khanzir.
It's quite a.
I don't like the food much. You know, what? European countries, I've realised, the grub ain't guano.
I think a lot of European countries are very pork-based.
It's porky-walky and it's beery.
So you can't do either, really.
You know what I mean? So, for example, Germany, been there before Munich. I remember they were serving, what do they call sausages?
A Wurst.
Well, there you go. And then beer. So I was like, oh, so I can't have either. And then a sauerkraut, which I hate. So I was like, you know what? I'll just fast and make up my days.
What's the equivalent for you of that?
How do you mean?
Like, you know, if you would say your like core meal, you know, if you think of Germany, you think beer and sausage.
Rice and chicken.
Right.
Core. Could eat that anywhere. Rice and chicks, I'm in there.
Mm.
I feel like that should be everybody's core. Whereas that's why I like the Asian grub. Like I love a Pakistani food, an Indian grub.
Pakistani food.
Chinese,
is good.
Japanese. They all got a rice and chicken somewhere.
Chinese.
What?
Do you mean like
sweet and sour with egg fry? Why?
But that's like white guy Chinese.
Yeah, but it's still Chinese. I love that food.
Not sure I agree. Actually, I think actually that's just English Chinese. If that makes sense.
I know what you mean.
Because when you go to real China,
Peking duck.
Yeah,
that's their real Chinese grub.
Like Kenny just got back from China.
Yeah, and he said
was saying
that,
he
said the food is horror.
He said it made him very sick, but he did like it.
No, he said mainland China.
Yeah.
The food was all right. But you see the kind of places, shmeedy, that's what he said.
Go out to the countryside and suddenly you're in trouble.
Said I want garden, but
so
yeah, no, I like languages.
Languages. Geography, you're pretty good on geography.
Love a geog.
Do you still do the the app?
And yeah, me and Lawrence share that.
Geography app.
Geography app that we play. Yeah, I do, yeah.
Name the countries, name the flags.
Yep. Capital cities.
That's exceptional for you.
Love it.
Personality-wise, what kind of people do you tend to gel with? Do you like outgoing people? Do you like introverted people?
I don't mind a mix of them, to be fair, because I've got AJ and Star Player, which are my friend / cousin, very introverted type of people. But when they open up to you as a person, they're even better, you know?
Who's the person that you've met who you've been most surprised by their personality? Because you met quite a few sort of famous people where you're sort of like, maybe I won't like this guy. You meet him or her and you're sort of like, oh, actually, they weren't that bad.
Good question. To be fair, I haven't really met anyone and been underwhelmed.
So no, we don't have to be underwhelmed. I'm just thinking
different. Just thinking everybody else is just kind of cool.
Like I would have said, I would have thought I would not like in real life. And I'm just saying it, Channing Tatum.
Amazing.
But,
amazing guy.
Yeah.
Oh, what a guy, man. I'd love to speak to him on this podcast.
He would be a good guest.
Yeah, I want to see if Mustafa can sort that for me.
Mustafa's good friends with him.
Let me call him Mustafa now live.
Maybe, why don't you have a live
Man, he won't pick up though. I just realized America is 2 p.m. now. What time is it there?
9 a.m.
No, I'm talking America, America.
Oh, right, like 6 a.m.
Oh, it's dark.
6:43.
He
might be up.
Oh!
My God. Near the mic.
Yo! Oh, my brother Daniel Caesar! Where the hell are you? Are you in Egypt? Oh, he's in Cairo.
Arrowhead.
We can't really. By the way, Cairo. I'm live on my. I've got a podcast now.
Oh, are you live on the podcast?
No, not live. It's being filmed. I can edit stuff out, so don't worry about it.
Oh, shit. I was about to say that.
No, it's not live. It's not live. It's not live. I wouldn't set you up like that. Hey. What is? Oh, this Egyptian. Internet, it's not really going on, is it? He's just casually chilling with Daniel Caesar. You see my stuff, he's always just with celebs.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Why is he always in the?
Oh, he's doing a show for free in Egypt, Cairo.
Wow.
Yeah. So the connection's unstable, so I will give him a text.
That's fine.
But yeah, I was going to ask him if I could get China Tatum on there.
Plunder that phone book.
1 second, let me just send him a text, which is going to be, brother, I've got my own show called The Chunk Show. I'd love to get you down here. But I was basically talking about how nice Channing Tatum is as a human being. And I would love to get him on the podcast. So let me know if that's possible. Love you. Miss you. That's all I wanted to say to him.
Just a normal voice note.
But, yeah, I think, who have I met? Skepta.
Skeppy was pretty.
Very nice guy. I really, really love Skepta's company. Very
Idris nice. Was nice.
Idris. But then I kind of knew I'd like him. He's married to a Somali woman. Right. So I already knew he was going to be funny and like...
Good people.
Right. Like straight away, the first thing he said to me is, start talking to me in Somali. I was like, this is incredible. And just Elba, the absolute A-list celebrity, just speaking my language. Incredible. But I think luckily, like I've been blessed with meeting just great people.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't really had anything bad to say about anybody. I don't think...
You sure?
Go on, remind me. I don't mind. I'll say it.
But were you impressed by how late Burna Boy was?
Of course I wasn't, but then his energy was great.
Right.
You know, with A-listers, they're going to be late. You know what I mean? I've done a lot of football videos with these footballers. And there you go. Mustafa the Poet said, of course, brother, he'd love to talk to you too. So Hopefully we'll get Channing Tatum on the podcast.
We can make 23 Jump Street.
I could be Jonah Hill. Let me ask him. I think he's
Somali Jonah Hill.
Oh, I don't know if I can say that.
What?
Yeah. He said he's filming some...
Really?
So I'm going to just mute
Not allowed
mute
to say that.
Yeah. But I would love to do it. Why not? Let's hope that we can get China Tatum on here. But no, what was I saying?
You were saying people you liked or didn't like, but you've never really met anyone you didn't like. Who's the most famous person you've ever met?
Drake.
Yeah, shit. All right, you win.
Barack Obama in my dream.
Does Barack Obama...
He was nice in my dream. He said, "Hi, Chunk. I hope you're doing okay." And I said, thank you. And then I randomly, the dream just kind of went.
Yeah. Who do you want on the podcast?
Damon Wayans.
Damon Wayans is good. Damon
That's
Wayans.
A dream.
There's a documentary about Damon Wayans or a podcast about
there's
Damon Wayans?
There's a show with Club Shay Shay, Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp, yeah.
I think that's his name.
He's had some great podcasts, by the way.
Monumental. Cat Williams was the biggest one.
Cat Williams was a massive. Do you remember that last year? That
course,
was like a
was
crazy
humongous.
Pod.
But he's had Damon Wayans and Marlon Wayans. And the Damon Wayans episode is about 2 hours. It was about 2 hours and a half. I watched it 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm so obsessed with Damon Wayans as a character, as a human being. I tried to even interview him before Papa's Home. It's a show that he just came out. And they said yes in my DMs and everything. I got excited and then they stopped replying. And I said, I'll do it for free and I'll fly out.
He probably saw your opinions on American presidents. Why do you like him so much? That's quite an unusual person to fixate
TV
on.
Dad. Growing up, obviously, I had a dad in my life, so I'm very lucky.
Great dad.
Well, great dad.
You look very like your dad, by the way.
Is it?
Nose and eyes, very similar.
He's beautiful. He's
good looking.
He's aged very well.
Yeah.
I hope to age like him. But I think he kind of gave me the vibe of, this is the kind of pops I want to be when I grow up.
Right.
No disrespect to my dad, because my dad did a great job.
Mm.
But it was just, I think it was more that modern kind of twist to it. Which
Do you
not
think is a good thing?
Yeah, that's why I said I wanted to be like my...
But I mean, like, you know, you don't have to parent like your dad.
Of course not.
You, like, if anything, it's good. I'll
take the good things that he did.
Right.
And then minus the bad.
What's the best thing your dad's done, do you think?
Been there.
Just been around.
It's that simple, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll be honest. Like, growing up, I had... like 80% of my friendship groups that are similar background to me, Somali or whatever, didn't have their dad in their life. And of course, I'm not going to speak on their situations. Obviously, I don't know what happened, but it's very unfortunate. I feel like regardless of what's happening, you should always be there for your child in their life, or try to be, you know? Right. So yeah, number one thing my dad did was just be there, which is great because obviously he taught me how to be a man. And shout out to the mums that are superheroes because they're doing both roles. But obviously I was lucky to have both. But yeah, I generally just be, it's that simple. Just him being there was the best thing he's done.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Teaching me how to navigate around this life and this world. So shout out to Pops, man. I'm not trying to stunt because every time I talk about my dad, Ilias and Sharky will say, all right, we get it. You have a dad.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, sorry, guys. So I'm going to stop.
They've turned out well, though.
They have. They have. They have.
Especially Sharky.
Yes, he's done very well. His mum's a super woman.
You can tell.
Wow, man. I think there's like 6 or 7 of them.
How, you've got quite a soft friendship group, as in, not as in...
Moist?
Some of them a little.
Okay.
And I say that as probably quite a moist guy myself, if that makes sense.
You?
Probably.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, a little.
Yeah.
You know, I can, yeah. I wanted to get to know you like Vogue get to know people.
I like that.
Vogue ask many people 73 questions.
Don't ask me that, 73 questions.
Well, I don't have to ask them all. You can just say skip if you want.
Go on then.
So you need to open the door to your house? Hello, it's Vogue. Probably a rented house from somewhere. They tend to do that.
Airbnbs.
Yeah. And you'll say, welcome to my home.
Welcome to my home.
Yeah, that's great. And then I'll say, thanks for having us, Chunks. Like, this is a beautiful place. And you'll say, please call me Amin.
Please call. Just get to the flipping questions. Okay. How about that?
And then you'll say, would you like a water? Right. What's your favorite movie?
School of Rock.
Favorite food?
Chicken and rice.
Favorite dessert?
Can I do apple crumble / cheesecake?
You really are London, aren't you?
What does that mean? Is that like a London thing?
I think apple crumble is pretty English, isn't it? There's nothing more.
You're right.
English
you
apple right. crumble.
Yeah, you're right. Do love that.
Have you ever had like a traditional apple crumble, like made by like a traditional sort of, you know, apron wearing mother from
I have had
Suffolk?
An apron wearing dinner lady from school.
Very similar.
Yeah. She must have been a mother, innit?
Yeah.
She smashed it.
Drink. Not alcoholic, obviously.
Yeah, of course. I'm in my...
Difficult to say.
I'm in my Vitamin Well water bag right now.
Oh.
Vitamin Well.
What does that taste like?
It's like... So it's called the pineapple and wild strawberry flavor.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, I'll be honest with you, brother. Yeah. And it's like waterish. Yeah. So it's like... But it's not diluted. You know where you can just taste a faint version of it? Sure. It's actually strong. So shout out to Vitamin Well because they sent me over loads of crates to my house recently.
Favorite holiday?
Saudi Arabia.
Really?
And I'm talking about Umrah.
Right. Sorry, is that holiday?
Okay, if we're not talking about that, then I'll say Qatar with the boys.
That did look good.
Oh, incredible day, man. Very, very good day.
I've got to admit, because they sort of give you the keys to the kingdom in a way, don't they?
Yeah.
They really walk into any restaurant.
The hospitality is an effing joke. And they let me take my whole family there. My mum and dad came, sisters, nephew, nieces. Incredible. Really loved it.
Do you ever look around and does it feel a bit surreal?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember my mum called me randomly just in tears, basically saying how proud she is of me because like she was like, we hardly even need to take flights. And the fact that you've got all of us in business. And she goes, I reclined my seat, and as I reclined it, I just thought, what the hell is going on right now? So I remember that was a nice little conversation we had on the phone where we both kind of got emotional because she was like, how proud she is of me. But of course, none of it would have been possible but by the grace of God.
Right.
So it was a nice conversation, a really nice, wholesome one. Me and mum.
Who also says, respect your mum.
What's the most important thing? You see, after your Lord and the prophets, it's your mum, then your mum, then your mum. Then your dad.
So yeah, because it's three times your dad, isn't it?
The three times your mum, then your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see your mother. If you still have your mother in this life, guys, cherish her, man. I know we went random, but that's the show. We gotta go random sometimes.
You don't really get that kind of thing until either you've maybe been away from them, or I honestly think the next stage in your life where you really appreciate your mum is when you have kids.
Yeah. Everyone says that. Everyone says when you have your child, you then realize how grateful you are to your parents because it's like the love they have for you and obviously the mistakes you made through your life, kind of like you think, oh my God. I remember Harry Panera called his dad as soon as his son was born, and he just apologized to his dad saying, like, I apologize for all the shit I did growing up. Just random, you know what I mean? So I think, yeah, you kind of appreciate your parents more when you have children, maybe.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But especially with if you watch like you watch your wife go through it,
yeah,
having a baby, those kind of things, that's quite big.
Mental.
Favorite city?
London.
Outside?
Manchester.
Really?
Yeah, I love Manchester.
Of the rest of the world.
Okay, fine. Let me not be boring. London.
You don't like Paris? You hate Paris? You hate French people?
No.
Oh.
I've got a bad memory of Paris.
Go on.
3 weeks ago.
Why?
Arsenal versus PSG.
Oh, you're joking. What? You think that's such a bad memory?
Horrible memory. I flipping drove. Well, I didn't drive, but we got driven down to France. 7 hours there, 7 hours
Sorry,
back.
You drove to France?
Yeah.
Why?
The trains, I remember we went with like 7-8 of us. The trains were like £500 each.
Right.
And everybody wanted to pay that. So me, Harry and Sharky kind of forked up the bill just so everybody could enjoy. We went and Harry enjoyed because he supports Manchester United. But guess what? They lost to Tottenham Hotspurs in the Europa League final.
Does it really hurt you anymore to see those kind of things? Because now you're quite close with the footballers. Do you not like get the industry a little bit? You're sort of getting older.
Yeah, but I feel like in games like that, it's always going to hurt. You know what I mean? Like so close to silverware. But like in terms of throughout the season, I'm not as depressed as I used to be. Like, I don't care.
You know, if you can text someone from the team, does that soften the blow a little bit?
Not really, because the outcome's the same. You don't get a trophy. Like you wouldn't know because you just won a Prem.
I wouldn't know.
You just won a Prem.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Prick.
Well, you're talking to people like Trent when you say that, close friends of yours.
Yeah, but he's gone to Real Madrid. How did that feel, by the way?
I feel fine about it. I remember being quite angry about it.
Is it?
Obviously. Like, as a fan.
Why, though? I don't get that, you know.
Do you understand the concept of sports hate?
Okay, listen to this. It's not even the same because, like, even me, bro, generally, if next season we don't win anything,
mm-hmm.
and by the next summer after Saliba decides he's going to Real Madrid, I won't hate him. I get it, but my vibe is different because obviously he's gone because he can't win silverware at Arsenal. With you guys, it's even more of a reason why I don't understand, because the boy has won everything. He's won everything possible at Liverpool. He wants to challenge himself at the best team in the world of all time, Real Madrid. How are you upset about that?
I guess, do you want the real answer?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, Liverpool, we consider ourselves to be like a great option. So it's a bit like saying, I love my wife, but I will allow her a hall pass because, of course, if her dream guy comes over, whoever that is.
That analogy is horrific.
Why?
Because marriage is completely different to supporting a team.
But to a lot of these people, I think they...
That loyalty is the same.
They put their wages, like all of their money goes into following this team.
No, you're right. What it is, then I'm incorrect. Because that means it's subjective. Each people love football and their team differently.
So maybe I don't have the right to be angry at Trent. I don't think I do. I live in London. Obviously, I cover the team. But someone who goes week in, week out, they fly to, you know, they flew to PSG. They flew to Milan.
No, I get it. But I'm kind of just like... You can't understand where he's coming from?
Of course people can understand where he's coming from. But I think that's kind of the point, is like, that makes them even more confused. I think have you been to Liverpool?
Yeah, of course.
It's a beautiful city.
I like Liverpool.
But a lot of cities like Liverpool can be a bit goldfish bowly sometimes. And here's the problem, right? I can't speak for what Trent's motivations are. I don't think anyone knows what Trent's really thinking.
I think it's just more on a vibe of being the eighth English player to ever play for Real Madrid.
Sure.
It's just monumental being able to... I think his dream was obviously... remember when they asked him? He said he wants to be on the Ballon d'Or, correct?
Sure.
Some people call him crazy for that, but I don't think it's too far-fetched because he is one of the best right-backs in the world's ever seen. One of the, of course, Dani Alves, Cafu, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
But I'm saying, in order to get closer to that dream, I feel like you'll get closer by playing for Real Madrid than Liverpool. And let's not get twisted, Liverpool, incredible team, incredible city, whatever. But Real Madrid are the most decorated team in world football. So wouldn't it make sense to join a team that's got Vinicius, Mbappe, Jude Bellingham, Valverde, these kind of players?
He's good friends with Jude.
Good friends with Jude. You're going to get paid a stupid amount. It's like, I understand Liverpool's frustration, but then I also do get why he'd want to move.
I guess the nearest analogy I can give you is, it would be like if you left Beta to go to Sidemen.
Wow.
I can't believe I've actually just nailed that. Do you know what I think caused it? And I think a lot of the time this happens, it's because he, and I hate that, like, he can't reply publicly. It's because he hasn't said anything public until recently that meant that everyone else got to speculate about why he wants to leave. And actually, I think if he just said, listen, I'm a young Scouse guy who is very proud of where I come from, but I want to test myself and represent Liverpool. No, but ish. I want to rep. If you said ish, it's the ish. Liverpool's a very committed city.
Yeah. And I feel like he knows that. So that's why he knows that whether I say something or not, it's kind of like I'm doomed.
But do you know what I really hate? Like, it upsets me that maybe he might see a video where there are people like me evaluating what he does. And then someone around him, I'm not saying he goes bad people around him, but a PR person from Adidas or something might go, well, you can't interview him anymore. You can't go anywhere near him because you've said X, Y, Z. And so I think when you're surrounded with people who only want to hear good things about you, I wouldn't say that's a great idea. Not that I would necessarily say, you know, let's get someone who criticizes Chunks on the show.
Yeah, of course. I get it.
Do you ever get obsessed with negativity towards you? Have you ever had a time in your life where online negativity has seriously made you feel bad?
Yeah.
How 100%. Did you deal with it?
At that time, I dealt with it wrong because I kind of read everything about it, surrounding it. I read all the comments. I read the fact that I was trending on Twitter or whatever, and I read all of that, and I just realized that's such a detriment. It's so bad because it's kind of like you're just taking in all this negative stuff about you, and it's like maybe some things are your insecurities, and then it kind of just, it's even louder to you because you're like, rah, even these guys can say that now about me. And because, you know, with insecurities, you kind of just get, you feel bad about yourself when somebody tells you, oh no, you're just overlooking it, you're doing too much, you're
right,
come on, don't think that about yourself. But then for the opposite to happen, where people are kind of highlighting it and constantly pushing it on you, like, fuck.
But they're also talking about you as if you don't already know that.
Yeah, I know, but regardless, when it comes in the thousands, like...
No, but that's what I mean. Like, yeah, these people who think that you've never noticed these little things by yourself.
Yeah. But like I said, this is... Because it would be an insecurity, it kind of hurts even more. But I think the way I deal with negativity now is just I kind of ignore it. You know what I mean? It's on the internet. I remember someone made a funny joke. They were like, they don't understand cyberbullying because why don't you just close your laptop? It was a funny thing, yeah. But obviously, I know cyberbullying is not funny, but I'm saying I kind of deal with it and I like that now. If there's just a bunch of rubbish online, I just won't go online.
And you're a very religious person. How religious would you say?
I wouldn't say I am, you know. That's the thing. Because, you know, for example, I see a lot of Muslims and, like, for example, be out eating food or something. And then obviously, again, I'm not trying to highlight their bad things. I'm not going to say who they are. But obviously they'll be drinking alcohol, whatever it is they do, and they delve into it. And then they'll be like, what do you want to drink? And I'll be like, oh, I'll take a lemonade or something. They'll be like, oh, you don't drink? I'm like, no. They're like, rah, you're such a good Muslim. And it's like, that's the bare minimum. Like, there's the things that you're not meant to be doing. You know what I mean? I try to, everyone's got their trials and tribulations and their things that they struggle with, me included. But there's some things that I just kind of like won't compromise.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So because I kind of have strong morals on that front, people will say I'm religious, but I just feel like I'm doing the bare minimum. Like, as a Muslim, you're meant to pray 5 times a day. You're meant to, like, now if I feel like you've learned the whole Quran and you know you can state each chapter and you know so much about the religion, that's what me now I'm thinking, okay, you're being religious.
Is that where you're trying to get to?
Of course, everyone tries to strive to be the best version of themselves, the best Muslim they possibly can be. You have the Prophet that we all look up to, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know what I mean, peace be upon him, that everybody is trying to be like. And again, like I said, it's not as easy as this is the person you should try and copy, be like this person. Of course, everyone is in different stages of life. But because of the fact that I try to do the bare minimum as a Muslim, they'll say I'm religious. I'm kind of like, don't put that pressure on me because now you guys are going to look at me as a role model, quote unquote. And then I fumble because I do something wrong that's against the religion. And all of a sudden I'm this prick that shouldn't be representing Islam. I wasn't representing Islam. I was representing myself. You know what I mean? So I don't like when people put that label of you're very religious or you're a practicing Muslim or nah, just let me go about my business and you do your thing. Don't look up to me, bro. Look up to a sheikh or imam or your parents. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah, I don't like that kind of added pressure, if I'm being honest.
Would you like to get any religious people on here? Because I've got to admit, a lot of people thought they've heard some public conversations between you about religion with other people, and a lot of people really enjoyed that. Or is that not a part of your life that you want to...
I don't know if I'm comfy just yet, because
maybe you don't know how much you know, if that makes sense.
No, it's not that. I know that I could learn much more about the religion. I know I don't know anything like much about the religion or everything about the religion. Sorry, but I don't know. When I started content in my head, I thought, you know what? No politics, no religion, no. You know what I mean? Let me just, because in my head I thought, let me just stick to what it is I want to do, which is make people laugh and entertained. But obviously, bumps in the road and real life started happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then you're like, well, I have to speak about this, because if you don't speak about certain things, then you're kind of like, well, who are you? Mm-hmm. You have no morals. You know what I mean? And you know what I'm alluding to, of course. So I thought, you know what? I'll speak about certain things that are travesties, but some things I'm like, I don't have to. So I'd rather not.
No, I get that. Yeah.
But yeah, like for example, religion. Do I have to speak about it? No.
I agree. Although I've got to admit, getting to know you did make me feel warmer about my own journey, put it that way.
In respect to?
Obviously, I respect my wife's religion, the same as yours, I think. I mean, broadly, right? You both call yourself Muslim, yeah. Right? A lot of people would say you both maybe have different interpretation because yeah. She's married a non-Muslim. A lot of people judge that.
Yeah.
But I've never seen it practiced maybe in the way that maybe Somali people practice it.
Yeah.
And I found that quite appealing.
Okay, that's nice.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's nice.
And I never really encountered that kind of Islam.
Yeah. I feel like that's very cool that you said that, because, you know, like, for example, one thing we don't know as Muslims is that we represent the religion.
Mm.
So, for example, someone would see that might not be a Muslim, and then they see how you, if they just see you randomly get up when you hear a call to prayer, and they think of what you're doing, and then you put your head to the ground, and it's that they're like, wow, this person's locked in. Like, they're actually praying. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like, what is he doing? Why is he praying? Do their own research. And then, let's say further down the line, they end up reverting because of the fact you opened their eyes to the religion. So it's like, you are a representation of your own faith. And so that's why it's very important to try to uphold and be the best version of yourself you could possibly be.
Mm.
So it is very cool that you say stuff like that, because that's happened quite a few times where somebody been like, oh, you know, I reverted because of your story or whatever. And it's kind of like, you don't even know what you're doing, because I'm not intentionally doing it. I'm not trying to be a good person because I want you to revert. But if it ends up happening, they're like, wow, that's amazing. You know what I mean?
But I think that lack of pressure I found very appealing. Like, I was once on my way to the airport, 3 a.m., get in the car. My wife, obviously, we're in the back of the car. Car's about to pull away. Bismillah, right?
Yeah, Bismillah, yeah.
And the guy goes, clocks. Obviously, a white family's just got in the car.
Why the hell is he saying Bismillah, yeah?
He's going, wait, what are you guys? Suddenly it's 3 a.m. and I'm hearing everything at 3 a.m. for an hour on my way to Heathrow.
Yeah.
As nice as that is, just felt I'm wearing an Uber.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's just chill.
Yeah.
It's 3 a.m.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was grateful. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, of course.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Overall, name one incredible guest that you'd like to get on this podcast.
KSI.
KSI would be good.
Yep.
I think I would still like to see you do one with Maya Jama.
Oh yeah, we were meant to do one, but that didn't go through.
Yeah. I just want to see you with friends.
Yes.
I would like to see Channing Tatum. You are good with Darkest.
I do like Darkest, yeah. Yeah, to be fair, I think that's what the comments are about. Guys, let me know. In terms of what kind of guests you want to see, maybe a structure of podcast you want to see. I think I'm going to just try to have fun with this. Again, this is something that I am almost trialing out, because if you guys end up saying, nah, Chunks, mate, we don't really want to see this, then of course I just won't do it, because again, this is a trialish kind of period, but I do enjoy talking. So hopefully you guys can enjoy it and support it. Please like, comment, subscribe.
Been good.
Click that bell so you're notified when we upload here on the Chunks Show. Please support the grind. I love you guys very much.